We're starting a new series today. It's called Living Out the Gospel. If you remember, we began the year looking at four P's: the presence of God, prayer, prophecy, and praise and worship. Then we looked at who Jesus was and what he was like, and how we can become more like him. Then we focused on one particular individual, King David, described in the Bible as a man after God's own heart. Why? Because he single-mindedly sought after the Lord throughout his life. Now, I hope you found the teaching really helpful this year. I found it very helpful hearing others sharing on these topics. But you know, if all this doesn't translate into real life, it's pointless, especially for us as a fellowship of God's people together. Because we know that being church is not always easy. God has called us to love each other and to lay down our lives for each other. So the plan is that in November, we're going to spend 4 weeks looking at one of the Apostle Paul's most hard-hitting and radical letters, Philippians, and see what the Lord wants to highlight for us as we journey together as church. But before then, there's something we need to tackle which is just as important and urgent, and that's this. How do we care for God's earth? We're going to do this over 4 weeks. Next week, Pete McCarthy will be talking about living sustainably. And Pete is doing an MA as part of his ministerial training, and the subject of his final year dissertation is the environment and how we as Christians respond to the environmental issue. So it's really great to have him speaking to us. Then, on the 27th of October, Claire and Andrew Head will be talking about eating sustainably. And we have two wonderful farmers in our church family, organic farmers, and there's no one better to share about that subject with us. And that week we'll also be celebrating harvest and making offerings to the food bank and to Tear Fund. More of that in the next couple of weeks. Then on the 4th of November we have a special speaker from Tear Fund. His name is Jack Wakefield, and he's going to be talking to us about justice for the poor. Because if there's one thing that's absolutely clear, climate change impacts the poor and marginalised more than any other section of the world's community. Why? Well, because unlike most of us, the poor don't have the resources to immunise themselves from the impact of climate change. And each week, we're not only going to look at what the Bible has to say, and it's absolutely vital to see what the Bible has to say, but then also, we want to be very practical, and Lucy Veerbagen, who's our eco-champion, will also bring some really practical ideas about how we can make a difference in our own life and in the life of our church. So let's dig into this. And I want to open it up by asking a simple question. Why should this issue matter to us as Christians? Okay, this is a big political issue and it's a big environmental issue. But you don't come to church just to listen to talks on politics or on the environment. But I truly believe that the way we care for our planet is a God issue. And I thought I'd show you a video. It was a TV ad actually that aired quite a few years ago. And it kind of illustrates the point. And now this ad, let me explain. Long before the days of the internet, when you wanted a product or a service sourced locally, you used a hard copy telephone directory called Yellow Pages and printed on yellow paper. And this is an advertisement from about 20, 30 years ago about Yellow Pages. Have a look at this. Well, I hope you get the point. The son's waiting for his parents to come home from holiday, and they have entrusted their beautiful home to him. And he decided that he was going to have one massive party on the last night, which clearly included masses of people he didn't even know. And they trashed the place, and someone put a massive gash on the table. And the parents are about to arrive back from the holiday at the airport, and the son wakes up to find that if he doesn't clean the place up, there'll be hell to pay. Fortunately, the man from Yellow Pages sorts out the table. Pity about the moustache and glasses scribbled on the painting, but there you go. Now, there are all sorts of reasons why we need to take out the issue of our environment seriously, and we'll be talking about them in the coming weeks. But for me, there are two reasons that really stand out. First, God wants us to care for the earth because he cares desperately about it. And second, God wants us to care for the earth because he cares desperately about us. Let's take the first one. God wants us to care about the earth because he cares desperately about it. I may have told you this story before, but when she was, I think, about four, I built my daughter a doll's house. It was, though I say it myself, a work of art. It looked a bit like this. It started in kit form, and I had to paint it and assemble it and put wallpaper on the walls and carpet on the floors. and I wired it up and I poured my heart and soul into this doll's house. And I remember it was the night before Victoria's birthday and it wasn't finished. And I wanted to finish it on time. And I remember that I worked all night and finished it about 5 o'clock in the morning. And I was utterly exhausted. But she was so, it was so worth it. She just loved it. It was 1,000% worth it to see her face when I took off the sheet covering the doll's house on her birthday, on the morning of her birthday, and she saw it. And she looked after it, and we're now about to give it to her own daughter. But just imagine how I would have felt if she hadn't cared for it. She'd trashed the whole thing. She'd scribbled on the wallpaper with a felt-tip pen and pulled apart the furniture that I'd lovingly assembled, pulled off the doors and the little window boxes. How would her daddy have felt? He would have been heartbroken. I would have been heartbroken. Well, maybe that's a very inadequate picture of how God feels when he sees us spoiling his world. Genesis 1 and 2 is an astonishing account of God creating the world. And Genesis 1 begins by describing what was there before God began his work of creation. Here it begins, beginning of Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. See, in the beginning there was nothing, but then Genesis 1 begins to describe what God did, and in an astonishing burst of creativity, the Lord creates light and darkness, day and night, sea and dry land, plants and animals, sun, moon and stars, and finally, mankind. And the Lord says, verse 28, God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God finally sits back and his word says, God saw all that he had made and behold, it was very good. So if instead of filling the earth and subduing it, we trash it, how do you think God feels? I think he's heartbroken. Just as if my four-year-old daughter had smashed up the doll's house I took such trouble to make for her. I truly believe that God cares desperately about the world he has made and he weeps over it and weeps over what we've done to it. But there is something more, because I believe that God wants us to care for the earth because he cares desperately about us. Now you might think that Genesis 1 gives us permission to behave however we like. After all, the earth has been given to us to fill and subdue. Well, that's true, but it's only part of the story. Because in Genesis 2, we read about the creation of the first man. And the Bible says this, Genesis 2:15, that the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. And the words there used are worth digging into. The word cultivate, the Hebrew word there is abad, and it means to labor or work or serve. It's the same word that's used in Genesis 29 when Jacob says to Laban, I will serve you 7 years in return for your daughter Rachel in marriage. It's the same word used in Exodus 8 when Moses says to Pharaoh, let my people go that they may serve me. Can you see? We're talking about service. Man was put on earth to serve the earth. And it also says he was placed in the garden to cultivate and keep it. What about keep? Well, the Hebrew word for keep is shamar. And the idea there is of looking after or caring or observing. This is the same word used in Exodus 19 when the Lord talks about the people of Israel keeping the law, like observing the law. Can you see that we're expected to serve God's creation? We may be placed in charge, but it's servant leadership, not domination and destruction. And when we exercise servant leadership in this way, we're truly living out our God-given destiny. Which means that if we trash the planet we've been called to care for and serve, we're not fulfilling the creation mandate the Lord has given us. So is it any surprise that our world begins to fall apart around us? And how does the Lord feel about the people he entrusted with his beautiful planet damaging themselves in the process? Again, I think he's heartbroken. God wants us to care for the earth because he cares desperately about us. He wants us to become the people he created us to be. And a huge part of that is about caring for the world in the way he designed us to do. When our hearts beat with the Lord's on this one, we cannot help but respond. So can you see how this is not just a matter of environmental politics? It's a matter of our lives and our hearts and responding to him. As Paul says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. If we want to do his good, pleasing and perfect will, we need to offer ourselves to him as living sacrifices. And as we are transformed, we'll see our communities and this world transformed as well. Just as the All Saints vision states, there on every notice sheet we receive, we will see the kingdom of God come in power through the transformation of our community. Now, I hope you're persuaded that God loves this world and wants us to care for it, but we want this to be a practical series. We've already heard from Molly Triffitt about how we can recycle clothes, and from Neil and Jan Crisp, they're giving us the opportunity to recycle their books. Now, Lucy Vibergen, our eco-champion, is going to share a couple of ideas that can help us make a difference where we can redeem God's world. And then I've got an idea of my own. But first, Lucy.